So it's my privilege to represent to Mothers Assumpta and the Dominican Sisters of Mary for his outstanding witness to our faith and also to his contribution to the Sisters of Mary and his support, he and his family. There you go, Philip. These are the paper ones here.
Thank you, sister. That was too nice. I wasn't ready to have you read that for my wife. Thank you very much. And so many nice things sister said. And it's such an honor, and I'm really thankful to be here. But it really is for the grace of God that I stand here. And of the nice things you can say about me. It wouldn't have been possible without his grace and love. So it really is an honor to be here. Sister asked me to say a few words, and I spoke at a men's conference, today, this morning in Grand Rapids, that there was like 1,400 men, and it was a great conference, and then drove over. So the timing of both events worked out perfect. And the Holy Spirit, I knew a few years ago, led me to the Grand Rapids conference and now to here. So I really am supposed to be here and excited to be here. At first, I was going to tell just a little bit about myself. This is unusual territory for me to be speaking to you all here. I grew up in North Alabama, small town in North Alabama, and being a Catholic in the South in the mid-80s was quite the minority. There was one Catholic church in the county, and I was an altar boy, and would often, even when I wasn't on the schedule, would go get dressed, hoping that the other little boy wouldn't show up. I love to be that close to the celebration of the Mass and the Eucharist, and got confirmed there in North Alabama in Athens, and I think there was like 25 total people, total students in our confirmation class. So it definitely was a small Catholic community. Not many of us in my school. Matter of fact, I didn't really know hardly any in our whole high school. I went to NC State from there, and that's really when the faith became my own. It was no longer mom and dad instructing me to go to Mass on Sundays. It really was on my own. And I think then is where, the one thing that was instilled in me by my parents, and that I hope and encourage many of you that I'm sure already do, but the one of the many things that they taught me about our faith was don't miss Mass on Sundays. And that was instilled in me as hard as it could be. And so I got to NC State in Raleigh as a student on my own for the first time, and Sunday morning rolled around, and there was no chance that I wasn't going to be at Mass and continue that. And that was the one thing. And, going from North Alabama to Raleigh was 10 hours away, and it was quite a change for me. And then going from there to San Diego was even a bigger change. But of the many gifts and awesome things about our church, the oneness, the one Catholic universal, the oneness of our faith is really what's the one thing that's really awesome to me. Is I go to... I go to Raleigh, North Carolina, and I walk into Mass on Sundays, and I feel it, and I'm home. And we go to San Diego, California, and go to Mass, and I'm home. And I come to Grand Rapids and Ann Arbor, and I haven't met hardly any of you here, and I feel at home because of our bond and our closeness in our faith. And that's just really special. And Tiffany and I got married at NC State after my freshman year, and then we moved our family to San Diego. But it was just Tiffany and I and our oldest daughter at the time, and we get there and we're like, where are we? I mean North Alabama, I'd never passed the Mississippi before going west. and there I was in San Diego, California. And a quick draft story, I get drafted, you fly out there and they show you around or whatever, but me and a couple of the guys that went with me were going to go for lunch, and we said, where should we go? And they told me, and they said, well, go, get on the get on 5 and then go 15 north, whatever they were telling me. Anyway, I took a wrong turn and see international border 1 mile. And I thought, where in the world has God sent me? But it's been home now for 11 years, and we have a great Catholic community there, and our family has grown quite a bit. We moved there with just Hallie, who was 2, and now there's her plus 6 and one coming in October. So our family's grown quite a bit over the 11 years there. Sister mentioned how we met, and then they've been back a few more times, and many of you probably know in the schools, I'm sure, the virtue program that they do, and that we try to do at home with our children, and it's really awesome to see when you teach them with the cards. I know you've all seen them with the pictures, and we recently did a couple in a row. It was patience and perseverance. I can't remember the 3 we did in a row, and got them to do a play. You know, hey, you got to do a play on Friday. We'll do these 3, and then on Friday you got to do a little skit. And they're using the real little ones that they're telling just what to do. You just, you know, smack something out of my hand. You know, they're telling the little girls, getting the little ones that don't quite understand yet. But so it's really awesome, and it's such a blessing, I know, for you all to have them here. And to have the schools that you have, it's awesome. As parents, you know, Tiffany and I, it's kind of not our motto, but we want our children to know, love, and serve God. And that's kind of where it all starts. Obviously, there's many, many things about our faith and bringing them up and raising them in a disciplined, you know, Catholic Christian home, but to know, love, and serve God is the simplest way that I can put it. And moms, wives, forgive me for a minute because I'm going to focus on the dads. We know how important your role is in our family and raising our children, and we certainly couldn't do it without you. But I have men on my mind right now, being that men's conference, and so. So I'm not excluding you here, some of these remarks. Don't think you're not needed. We need you big time. But dads, it starts with us. It starts with us in the family. It starts with us leading our family. It starts with us with the example we set, with the way we treat our wives and the way we love our wives. And our children, as y'all know, see everything. They see and watch everything we do. And it starts with us, dads. And, you know, I know for our family, and we're not... by any means are we perfect in doing it every night, but family prayer time we try to do every night, whether it's a decade of a rosary, if your children are old enough to do a whole rosary, with intentions, we try to get a big jar, and we need to get this back started. We were doing it so good for a while, but in putting names in there, you know, grandmother, the sisters, the priest, the army, you know, all those things that the kids think of that you throw in a jar. And we pull them out every day and put them kind of on the picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in our living room there. And that was like the day, we're offering the day for that intention. And our children are so visual. Children are so visual. And so anything, lighting a candle when you pray at night, having, you know, actually giving them physically the rosaries to let them hold. You know, some of them are 3, and, you know, like my little guy is 3, Pete, and he's twirling around and all that, and you try to teach him to be gentle. But they're so visual, and they remember those things. Those things will be ingrained with them. And obviously, dads, you know, they want our time. You know, I think our wives want our time, and our children want our time. And they want us to spend time with them. And I know for me, with having 3 girls first, sometimes it was hard early on to play with the Polly Pockets and the Barbie dolls and to play house. You know, dads, they want you to play house, and you have to be John or whatever your name is. And so at our house, I'm always Brad for some reason. But they want our time, and, you know, as my children are getting older, and they're getting more and more into the football, and they know now that I play, and they watch on TV, and they're older. And but coming home after a road trip, and I know many of you, and some here are in the football business, but many of you are in, you know, your workplace that you travel. But coming home after a road trip, for me, win or lose, obviously you feel better when you win, but win or lose, you come home and there's bicycles and there's scooters and there's sidewalk chalk and there's stuff all over the place. And I just smile. I mean, that never gets old, because whatever's happened on the road trip, it doesn't matter. You have your children and wife that love you, and you have your family there that cares way more about you than what you do on the football field. Although it's getting a little tougher. My oldest son, not my oldest child, but he's number four. He's seven now, and he's all into football now. I mean, he's really into it. And 2 years ago, he was five, and I threw a terrible interception against Tampa Bay. And it was really bad. And I come home, and we're talking about the game. I'm like, gosh, we were coming back, weren't we? We were getting close, you know, this and that. And he says, yeah, Dad, but why did you throw it right to that guy? I didn't mean to, I promise. So I can't get away with a bad game like I used to. Some of you, I'm sure, have older children, and some maybe that are grown. I know many of you do. I don't have teenagers yet. I was going to share a story. There's a dad that had a son that was 16 years old or so, and he wanted to drive his dad's truck. And he said, Dad, when can I drive the truck? And he said, Son, you got to do three things. You got to get your grades up. You got to read the Bible more, and you got to get a haircut. And so son said, okay. So about 4 weeks later, his son comes back up and says, Dad, I'm ready to drive the truck. And he said, well, son, I've noticed you've been reading the Bible a lot more, and your grades have been great, but your hair, you hadn't gotten a haircut yet. And he said, well, Dad, I've been reading, all the reading I've been doing, you know, Moses had long hair, Abraham, Jesus even had long hair. And he said, yes, son, you're right. And they walked everywhere they went. There's a reading here from, we had it in one of our readings a few weeks ago at Mass. It was from 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 19. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. And that verse, our pastor, Father Anthony, our priest there at the church we're parishioners at, he had a great homily about this. But I was thinking about this on the way here, actually, and I thought about the sisters, because I feel like they live that verse. And every day, I mean, and that's what my girls see, you know, the joy that they have always. You know, they pray without ceasing, and they're thankful in every circumstance, and don't quench the Spirit. And I think that can almost be all of our game plan moving forward and in our everyday life. And it's been on my heart just because of recently it being one of the readings at Mass. And then I thought about it with the sisters and what they do, and I know the joy that my family has seen in them. That's one of the first things they say about all of you, is they're just so happy all the time. And I know that's probably not always true, but you see, you have that joy, and it's very evident. And so I challenge all of us, myself, to really have that, and you have that joy by doing those other three things: praying without ceasing, being thankful in any circumstance, and not quenching the Spirit. I was going to share a Latin phrase with you that's real dear to me, and it's I pronounce it "nunc cepi," and that's the Alabama version. So I'm sure someone can pronounce it a little better, but it means "now I begin," and we kind of adopted it at our football team a few years ago in San Diego. "Now we begin" is how we phrased it, and it's never ending. It's "now we begin" again and again and again. And I just think it's so applicable wherever we are right now in our faith journey, in our family, in our prayer time, in Lent, you know, however, wherever we are, you know, "nunc cepi," you know, "now you begin" right now. Whether you do it, and I applied it to football, whether I'd thrown a touchdown was "now I begin." Whether I had a good game, whether I had a bad game, you begin again every day. And it's just not easy. It's not easy to live out your faith in today's world, and it's not easy, and it wasn't meant to be easy. I mean, anything worth something is usually not easy. And, you know, you read about all the saints, you know, the saints of the day that you can look at, and all the feast days, and you read about their lives, and their lives weren't easy. Their lives weren't easy. All our great saints, and we're called to be saints in this day. Well, I'll finish with this. In First Peter, Saint Peter, who was probably, you know, arguably the closest to Jesus, in the first nine lines of that he put pen to paper, he wrote this in the ninth line: "The goal of our faith is the salvation of our soul." And I think that sums it up, the goal of our faith. And I think for all of us in our families, is first with all of us individually, and then I again focus on the dads in our families. It's our families next. The goal of our faith, the salvation of our soul, is to get to heaven and bring as many people with us as we can. And it starts with ourselves, and then with our families. And you know, it's a great challenge and a great task and a great goal to have, and one that I'm glad that I share with all of you. And again, thank you, sisters, for the honor. And I'm really thankful to be here with you all. And God bless you.